ओम श्री गणेशाय नमः। ओम श्री सरस्वती नमः। ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं समस्त जनकल्याणे निरतं करुणाभयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं परमानन्दमाधवं। ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। పూర్ణమద బికాస్ పూర్ణమద ఇస్ అ శాంతి మంత్రం. I'm sure you know the word Upanishad, what it means. So you have Upa, Ni, and Sat. Upa means Samipa. Ni means Nishchay. So the word tells you that one should approach a teacher and not study by oneself. So it puts that niyama right at the beginning. So this is not something which you can open and study by oneself. Why it puts that niyama? If somebody knows the language, Veda, Vedanga and all one has studied, still why this niyama is good? Because the ultimate truth cannot be indicated by words. Special effort a teacher has to take in order to guide the student beyond the word. So Satya is said, Jnana is said, Ananta is said, but the teacher has to do something for the student in order that he goes beyond the words. Because the ultimate reality cannot be captured by words. Words can do the following. Words can express something which is a dravya, which is an object, guna, some property, kriya, some action, some sambandha. This is all words can do. So dravya, and in dravya is based guna and kriya. So what is dravya is what? Dravya is that which is the ashraya for guna and kriya. That's the definition of dravya itself. And this dravya's connection with another dravya is sambandha. So that's words have got a certain limitation. So even though words have got a limitation, words are the only way by which a teacher can guide a student. And these words are there in the Upanishad itself. But the Upanishad can't do that. Because Upanishad is only word, Shabda Samuha. Veda is Shabda Samuha. Upanishad also is Shabda Samuha. But to go beyond the Upanishad, beyond the words, Upanishad themselves can't do that. They can try their best, but only the guru who can help the student go beyond the word also. And that is why Upa is so important. So Upa indicates the role the teacher plays. The teacher's role is also limited, because teacher can only do his job, but the transformation has to happen on the student, and that is why Ni comes there. Ni means Nishchayena. Nishchayena means Nishchayena Shilayanti. So by he can do Upa, go to the teacher. The teacher can also say, teach, but abiding in that knowledge only Shishya can do, not the teacher can't do that. So in this way, that something is given to the student to do, something is given for the teacher to do. So Upa indicates the role of the teacher, Ni indicates the role of the student. So in this way, when the student and the teacher perform their what they have to do, and that is why sometimes in Veda Mantra you will find Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu. So there are two of them required to do these things. Bhunaktu means Palayatu. So once the teacher and the student do these things rightly, then production happens. Then the result of it, of such a perfection on part of the student and the teacher, is what is represented by the verbal form, the verbal root Sad. So, what is Sad? Sad has what three meanings? Visharana, Gati, Avasana. So, Visharana is destruction. And Gati is to take. And Avasadhana is to loosen. Sometimes Visharana and Avasadhana are also interchangeably given the meanings. But that doesn't really matter. These three things, one is to destroy, another is to gamayana, gamayati, you would say. Gati is gamayati. And Avasadhana is to loosen. So what does it say? So it says that there is destruction of ignorance. And how is there a destruction of ignorance? By leading one to Brahman, Gati. So destruction of ignorance by leading one to Brahman, leading to the loosening of sorrow. So loosening of sorrow means what? The Jivan Mukti is pointed out. So in this way, the very word Upanishad captures the entire, it captures so many ideas within it. So what does the word Upanishad mean? So Upanishad is that by which all these things happen. In another way, Upanishad is that knowledge which is to be gained from a teacher by strongly abiding in that knowledge, which in turn puts an end to ignorance by giving you the knowledge of the self, which results in the loosening of samsara. And that is why it is said, Upanishad Shabdena Brahma Vidya Uchyate. Now, when we say Upanishad as Brahma Vidya, but we don't usually refer to Upanishad as Brahma Vidya. We're going to study Ishavasya Upanishad.
Yeah.
So that is because this Shabda Samuha is capable of doing that. Because the Shabda Samuha enshrines in itself the Brahma Vidya. So, even though Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, and that Brahma Vidya could need not be here, it could be somewhere else also. Brahma Vidya does not mean study of Upanishad also as a text form. Brahma Vidya is Brahma Vidya. Because what is Brahma? Brahma Vidya is that which is Visharana, Gati and Avasadana. Right? But then this text is capable of giving that Brahma Vidya, and therefore, secondarily the text is called Upanishad. Primarily, it is only Brahma Vidya, it is Upanishad. Bhaktyatu. We say Bhaktya means Gaunya. Gauna Vritya. So, the text gets the name secondarily the term Upanishad. Whereas knowledge is per se the Upanishad. Then we go to some other term. Then when we now we saw Brahma Vidya as Upanishad. Then because the text gives the Brahma Vidya, the text is also called as Upanishad. Then the question comes, how many Upanishads are there? Now we are talking of text as Upanishad. Otherwise, Upanishad is only one, Brahma Vidya. Okay? So how many Upanishads are there is a question which is a little lower question.
Yeah, okay? Less important.
Because Upanishad is only one, Brahma Vidya is Upanishad, and Brahma Vidya cannot be many.
Exactly.
Right? But when you consider the text as Upanishad, then you can ask this question, how many Upanishads are there? Then we can say that there are a list of Upanishads which are given in the Muktika Upanishad. And there are 108 are mentioned there. So there are more also. I have seen complete collection of Upanishads, which is 121 or more also. So probably 108 they have enumerated without much significance to the number, or giving significance to the number 108, they have enumerated this many Upanishads. So the Upanishad themselves tells the Upanishad. That is also interesting. So you have Pramanikata with respect to Upanishad. So that is the thing. Then the question comes, then if all of them are Upanishad, why are we studying certain Upanishads which are given importance, and in English we call them major Upanishads, we call them. Of course, in the Shastriya Parampara, we don't have a term for major Upanishad. So the major Upanishads are enumerated in a verse. Isha Kena Kata Prashna Munda Mandu Kyatiti Aitireyam cha chandogyam bharadaranyakam katha. So you find the Dasha Upanishad. Isha kena kata prashna munda mandukya titiri. Titiri is Aitireya. Aitireyam cha chandogyam bharadaranyakam katha. You find 10 Upanishad. Now the question comes, what is so important about these 10 that it is called as, it is given so important as Dasha Upanishad we call? We don't find major, minor, is it? Dasha Upanishad is there. So other than the Dasha, is other Upanishads. So what makes it so important? To understand this, we have to know what do you mean by Shastra. So the word Shastra means a complete... See, the word Shastra can have two derivations. One is Shasanat. So, Shasana Trayate iti Shastram. Now, Shasana means which gives Vidhi and Nishetha. So, Karma Kanda becomes Shastra. Because they give Vidhi Nishetha. So, the definition of Shastra as Shasana Trayate pertains to Karma Kanda. When you come to Jnana Kanda, there is no Vidhi Nishetha given. So how can you call Shasana Trayate as? So the problem is there. Because Jnana Kanda doesn't have Vidhi Nishetha. Maximum you can say they are telling Atma Va Re Drashtavyaha. That you can't. You don't find any other district Vidhi Nishetha and all given there. Because they all of them come under the Karma Kanda. So the question arises, then how come then is Jnanakanda not Shastra? Then the definition of Shastra there is Shamsana Trayate Iti Shastra.
Oh.
Okay. So Shamsana means to eulogize for, that is for there, but that is not just eulogize. To describe also is Shamsana. To describe beautifully is Shamsana. Right? So here there is a description. It is descriptive in nature because it is only expounding the nature of the self and not giving vidhi or nishita. So thus the Shastra is either Shasanatrayate or Shamsanatrayate. So when you say description, it is a complete description we are talking of. Because a partial description cannot become Shamsan. So, when you come to complete description, what do you mean by complete description? That is why sometimes you will find Shastra is a complete science, like that the word is used. So, that completeness is coming from this Shamsana. Otherwise, you will not wonder how Shastra can become complete science. What is the connection? Shamsana is there. Okay? Well, you can say Shamsanat Trayate also to Karmakanda. Because by completely describing Vidhi and Nisheda, it becomes a complete thing. But when you come to Vedanta, you cannot apply Shasanatrayate. Only Shamsanatrayate will apply that. So when you say complete description, what? We are talking of Vedanta now. So when you talk of Vedanta, what is a complete description of this, what you call Shastra or Adhyatma Vidya? So one is a Paravidya and the Paravidya. So what is the completeness of Paravidya? It contains 5 topics. So 5 topics are required to make it Shamsana completely. Okay. One is the Adhikari Nirnaya. So who is a person qualified to understand this, what is being explained? That is Adhikari Nirnaya. So, once the Adhikari is there, then the question comes, this Adhikari, what he should do next? He is Adhikari, but what he should do? Adhikari means one who is qualified for attaining something is called Adhikari. But how does he attain that? Then he goes to the Guru. So, Guru Prasadana becomes the next topic. So, when we say Adhikari Nirnaya, you will find who is Adhikari means Viveka, Vairagya and all these topics should be dealt with them. So, Sadhana Chatushtaya becomes dealt with. Now, who is a guru? That is also Guru Nirnaya is there. When we say Guru Prasadana, reaching the Guru, the other topics are Guru Prasadana. So, Shtotriya Brahma Nishta becomes Guru. Of course, apart from being a Shtotriya and Brahma Nishta, you should also have the Karuna to teach.
Right.
So, that is to be understood as essential qualification also of the Guru. But just Karuna cannot make somebody a Guru. Top priority is Shrotriya Brahmanishta.
So possible to be Shrotriya Brahmanishta and not have Karuna to teach?
Somebody has only a samskara for Samadhi Abhyasa then.
Okay. Even though they may be Shrotriya. Yeah.
Samadhi Abhyasa samskara could be strong, then one can't become a teacher.
Okay.
There are Mahatmas like that. For example, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi, for many years he had only Samadhi samskara. You were not a guru at that period of time. And there are people, once they realize that Samadhi Samskara becomes so strong for them, that Karuna cannot be, Karuna is antagonistic to Samadhi Samskara. It can't be there. Because when you have Samadhi Samskara, Karuna is there means you can't have Samadhi.
Is Karuna for who, I guess?
It doesn't matter, but mind is going in a different direction. So it can't be pulled back. And therefore, say Shrotriya is there, Brahmanishta is there, and then Karuna for the student is the required. So, Ahetuka Daya Sindhu, these are the terms used there. So, all those terms. So, that is the second topic, Guru Prasadana. And once you go to the Guru, what the Guru does? Guru does the Upadesha. So, what is the crux of the Upadesha? Is Mahavakya. Because the Vishaya of Vedanta is Jiva Brahmaikya. Mahavakya encapsulates that. So therefore, The third aspect of the Shastra is Mahavakya Vichara. The subtopics in Mahavakya Vichara, Tam Pam Tam Pam Pada, then Tatpada, and then Aikya. So, Tvampada is Jiva, Tatpada is Ishvara. And Aikya is the identity. Other subtopics will be there. Then Tvampada means Vachyata, Lakshyata, Tatpada, Vachyata, Lakshyata. And Aikya means then the doubts which pertain to that, all those things will come. All those things will come. So, this Mahavakya Vichara becomes a third topic. Meaning, Upadesha becomes a third topic. Then, Upadesha has been done. Then, even though Upadesha has been done, suppose one does not get to that, what all is to be done? The sadhanas are prescribed. Shravana mala vidyas. So that becomes a sadhana. It becomes the fourth topic. So in, if you say in Upadesha itself, Shravana comes. So Shravana kind of there is there, Upadesha itself. But in case one doesn't get in Shravana that means what? There are some shankas are there. Therefore, that has to be removed by Manana. So, in case a person is qualified enough, then very Upadesha is sufficient. But even if a person is not qualified enough, then the sadhana of Manana is to be adopted. And if by doubts are removed and then the problem is solved, then there's no problem. In case still even doubts, after removing doubts also the problem persists, then Nididhyasana is required. So sadhana is as per the student. So the sadhana becomes the fourth topic. And after the sadhana, what happens? Then the phala is there. So the next is a discussion about the phala, which is Jiva Mukti and Videha Mukti. Okay. So when we say Shastra, Samshana, all these five topics are covered. Now, when you say all these five topics are covered, then it becomes Upanishad. You will find that every Upanishad does not have all these five topics. Is it not? You take it. Ishavasya can. You can force your way through until that also is there, this also is there. But generally speaking, you don't find everything covered in one Upanishad. And therefore, when we say Upanishad is Shastra, what we mean is that it is not one Upanishad which is Shastra, it is an entire body of Upanishad which is Shastra. That is the point. Now, entire body of Upanishad Shastra means 108 Upanishad. So, one has to understand all the 108 Upanishad to understand the entire Upanishad or what? All these five topics. Then Veda Vyasa says, no. Let me choose for you some Upanishads for you. And those Upanishads, what he has chosen, how do you know he has chosen that? Because in the Brahma Sutra you find he has done the vichara of these 10 Upanishads there. And another person could choose other 10 Upanishads.
As long as these
five topics are covered in all their details.
Yes.
So one would wonder, how is it that one Upanishad cannot be called Upanishad for the five topics? So, okay, five topics by you can prove by your own intelligence, but it is not that true. It is like this. We say Gita, we say Bhagavad Gita, we say. Is it one chapter of Bhagavad Gita? It is the Gita?
Okay.
The whole thing. Same Upanishad, when we say all these Upanishads together becomes a Shastra. And what are the 10 Upanishads Veda Vyasa chose? We have seen Ishakena Kataprashna Munda Mandu Ketitri Aitreyam Shachandogyam Bharadaranikam Tata. So these 10 Upanishads, they are the complete Shastra. Now, that doesn't mean other Upanishads are not the Shastra. You have to find your own ways to put 10 Upanishads, 11 Upanishads, 12 Upanishads, 15 Upanishads. But Vedavyasa found in his wisdom these 10 Upanishads coming over there to give the complete picture. And how? Why should we trust Vedavyasa? Because he's Vedavyasa. He's the one who compiled the whole Vedas. No, all the four Vedas. So, he had the whole gamut of wisdom in front of his eyes to make this conscious call. being a compiler.
Nice.
Okay. So that is how you have the Dashopanishad. And in the Dashopanishad, which he has made the Dasha, the first of them is the Ishavasya Upanishad.
So this verse is also listed in the order in which one should study the Upanishads?
Not exactly like that, but traditionally we study like that.
Okay.
Traditionally, if you go Isha, Kena, Kata, like that we study. In that order we study. In the Sandipani, we don't do that. In the Sandipani, we find which Upanishad is easier to cover for the beginner. For example, I took the... which Upanishad I took first? I took the first Katha Upanishad. Because Katha Upanishad has got Bhashya very simple. Ishavasya Upanishad, there are some complications coming. Of Sambhuti, Asambhuti and all those things. Vidya, Vidya and all. So if you initially expose the students to that kind of... because they don't have background also. You have to slowly build the background. But suppose one has studied all the Prakarna Granthas and some knowledge background, everything is there. Then there's no harm directly going by this out. In Katha Upanishad, the Bhashya is very simple. Word, meaning, word, meaning, word, meaning, it goes. Occasionally some descriptions are there, that's all. So by Katha Upanishad, a person can be introduced to the style of Bhashya. But by studying Ishavasya Upanishad, one can't begin with ease the study of Bhashya. And because I wanted the students to study the Bhashya, I chose a different tool. But whatever be the route you follow, the studying the 10 Upanishads will give you a comprehensive view of the entire Advaita Shastra or Vedanta Shastra, which contain these 5 topics.
If we say completeness of Shastra contains 5 topics, but that's particularly Vedanta Shastra we are talking about, right?
Yeah, we are talking about Upanishad Shastra, which is Vedanta.
Okay, so this is not something which applies to all Shastras.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, Mahavakya, Vichara... It's
Mahavidya we are talking about.
Okay.
Aparavidya is different.
Okay.
Which is there in the Karmakanda.
Yes.
So, if suppose one says Ayurveda Shastra, no, this is not.
Yes. That would be something.
Bhautika Shastra, Rasayana Shastra, no. This is only Adhyatma Shastra, Shastra we are talking about. So, these are the 5 topics of Adhyatma Shastra. Not any other Shastra. And Vedanta focuses on Adhyatma Shastra. Okay. This is for today's class.
Thank you, Swami. I have one question. In the beginning when we were talking about how the Guru, you must approach a teacher. So, I didn't actually fully understand why it is that only a teacher can teach you the Upanishad and you cannot study it yourself and understand.
See, what the Upanishads are only words. And the words communicate something. But the Guru is required. First of all, the Guru is required for you to explain the Upanishad. This is what this word means. Satyam, Jnanam, Anandam, Brahma.
Would we call studying the Bhashya as Upa, I mean like going to a Guru?
Yes, studying the Bhashya is also going to the Guru.
But that's also not...
That also may not be sufficient. Because the Bhashya itself says, Shastragnyopi, Swatantriyana, Brahman, Veshram, Nakutyat.
Nakutyat. Okay.
Why do you ask? Our Guruji used to say very interesting. The person asked a similar question. And Guruji said, why can't you ask that to the book?
Okay.
Because the Guru doesn't have that, the book doesn't have that life to answer. So where the student is getting stuck up, how the book will understand? Okay, an extremely capable student who is ultimate, very, very pure. Probably for that person, when he even hears one time Tattva Mursi, okay, fine. But even after 100 times reading the book and 100 times listening to a teacher, one finds it difficult to comprehend the truth. then to lose the assistance of the teacher is only going to delay the process. That is number one. Number two is that even though the Bhashya does a justice and therefore the Bhashya can be called as Upa, but if one were to read the Upanishads only by themselves, then the advice of a guru is lost there. And then the Upanishad words tell you something, but since the words are only associated with Dravya, Guna, Karma and Sambandha, and the ultimate reality is not having any of these. Therefore, to use the words in such a way that they indicate something what words are not inherently capable of indicating will require the presence of a teacher who can understand and use these words rightly in certain combinations and certain associations so that the student is helped to transcend the words which the Upanishad wants you to transcend. But suppose you ask, is not Upa the reading the Bhashya? Yes, Upa to an extent is reading the Bhashya also. But even there, again he is using words only.
Yes.
So again, he is telling, go beyond the words, but still using words only. So somewhere a human presence becomes advantageous, so that you don't waste your time making unnecessary detours and making mistakes in your comprehension, and again correcting yourself by reading something else. So in other words, Upa means you study the Upanishad by going to a teacher. Is Shankaracharya a teacher? Yes. Is it sufficient for everything? Sufficient for something. But is that sufficient? It is said that the teacher should come from the parampara. Because even what the Bhashya indicates sometimes may have certain kind of confusions for a person. Then we say the parampara, what this line means here in the Bhashya, the parampara only will be able to clarify. And there are people who have gone through the Bhashya independently without the parampara, and they have come to certain conclusions which are in contrary to the parampara. For example, there is a great scholar by name Sachidanandendra Saraswati. He went through the Bhashya himself. Yeah. He was a professor also before. So he has his own independent opinion of what the Bhashya says, which is as though it's a new school of Vedanta, and which is rejected by all the other schools. He says Vidyaranya also is wrong. He says Totakacharya is wrong. He says Astamalakacharya is wrong. He says Padmapadacharya is wrong. Sureshwaracharya is fine. Now, how does one come to this kind of conclusions? I am right and Sureshwaracharya is right. All others from that time to now are wrong. This all is because of independent study of the Bhashya without going through the parampara. It can lead to these kind of conclusions. He's a great scholar, a great Shankara Bhakta, but not accepted in the tradition. So you see the problem with scholarship and not going to the parampara. In another place he says, asampradaya with murka vityajya.
Yes.
Bhashya says, the person who knows the Vedanta but has not studied through the sampradaya, murkavat tyajya, or murkavat nyaya, murkavat tyajya is said there. He is to be rejected as a murka, even though he knows so much. Because he may not have grasped the truth which is coming through a sampradaya. In other traditions also it is there. For example, even Vyakarana tradition also, if something is not clear, asandehat, alakshanaha, it should not be considered as something which is to be, which doesn't have, then one has to go to one has to see the tradition to know what is the meaning of that sutra or what is that. So it is an alive tradition. is not a, it's a tradition which is supported by a human being. It's like a walking stick which doesn't walk by itself. A human being holds it to walk. Though it is called a walking stick, it doesn't walk. The same way Shastra does the Shamsana, but by itself it doesn't do the Shamsana. Somebody is required to make it do the right kind of Shamsana.
So regarding our schedule, Swamiji, so Mondays and Thursdays, this Thursday will Swamiji be here?
Yes, Friday morning I'm good.
Okay.
For some time we will do the classes at this time, and later on we'll see if any change is required in the class times. Okay. We'll see how we do.
Sure, Swamiji.
It's a convenient time for me, I think.
Okay, great. Me too.
But if there's need for other webinars or some other classes, then we'll see. We'll start, we'll move forward. But we'll have two sessions per week. And you can make your notes, Pakka and all those things, and Bhashya, whatever we are covering, you can go through it.
Yes.
Okay. So in this class, we saw what is the word Upanishad and how it is Shastra. So next, we will go into Ishavasya Upanishad. A small introduction of Ishavasya Upanishad, which Veda it comes, etc., etc. And then we go into the introduction of the Bhashya.
Thank you, Swamiji.
Yeah.
This is a dream which is finally coming true.
Thank you. He also is a wish which is coming true. And a promise which is able to fulfill. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.